Hey guys, it's Kiki and I am back from holiday break to review season 5, episode 7 of OWN's Ready to Love. This episode is called That's What Friends Are For. All right, we're back. I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving or whatever holiday you celebrate. I hope y'all ate. I hope y'all went Black Friday shopping, even though these sales are not hitting the same way they used to back in the day. Embarrassing. But before we jump into this week's episode, I'm going to answer the question that I asked on the last episode, which was, ladies, could you date a man with 3 kids with 3 different women? We were obviously talking about Dante. Shout out to my Spotify listeners that answered. I have 2 responses. Alicia said, heck no. Alicia, I'm with you. And then Amber, shout out to Amber for answering again. She said, 3 kids with 3 women is a pattern. I would question how well you're able to provide emotionally. Amber, you got the right idea. Like, 3 different children, 3 different relationships. Like, I pray that each situation is, you know, financially stable. But how are you able to be there emotionally? It's probably possible for you to be there emotionally for all your children, but what is your working relationship with the 3 different women? That's my concern. Are you guys on good terms? Are you beefing? Are you paying child support? Have they found success in other relationships? Like, what's the tea? I couldn't do it, but shout out to the women who hold it down with the multiple children, you know, the blended families, as we have coined it for the 21st century, the co-parenting. Y'all the real MVPs. Let's get into this week's episode, because y'all, when they skipped the week before, I kept thinking, oh my gosh, I missed an episode. I need to get caught up. No, OWN decided to take a little break, even though I think they should have taken the break for the holidays, but it is what it is. I'm going to be watching this episode live as I record, meaning I'm watching the DVR version and then I'm going to jump straight into my thoughts. So y'all hang with me and let's get through this episode together. So we see the ladies who all look very lovely, very refreshed. I wonder if they all like took a break in filming and came back. They're meeting Tommy in a tabernacle. All right. He says, welcome to the great 8. You know, they are halfway through. They're over the hump. And again, I can't really believe we're halfway through the process and we don't have NAN certified couples, but I'm not gonna hang on to that. It is what it is. Tommy says it's time to bring in some solid reinforcements. It's time for the ladies to bring in their friends. Now, I have a question. We're like, what, 5 seasons deep? I think I said 4 in the intro because that's what OWN says, but y'all know what I meant. Season 5, okay? Is it always ladies week when the friends come through? Because I feel like it always is. I feel that's how KG Chris got caught up 2 seasons ago with Naya. I don't know. I think last season when the friends came in, it was men's week because of Crazy David and the way he was trying to put Liz on Front Street. Never mind. Anyway, Tommy says it's time to bring in solid reinforcements. And I thought it was funny. He was like, everybody got a Kiki. Hello. I've been trying to tell y'all. Y'all need to get a Kiki in your life. No, but deadass. I think last season, somebody had a friend named Kiki. And then the season before that, I believe, Aunt Viv, y'all remember Crazy Aunt Viv? She either had a friend or a sister named Kiki. Everybody got a Kiki, y'all. Camille says that she's ready for this week to get over with because it means that she is halfway to being with her man. Does Cornelius know that? Tommy just lets them know that, you know, your friends are here to be honest, to let you know what you're, to really exploit your true love language and let you know if this is going to actually work out. So he's ready for everybody to take this week to come back and be honest. And I'm just like, all right, we'll see. He says it's going to be a very revealing week. So let's get into these friendship dates. So first we see Zadia and her friends meeting up at Topgolf. Her friends are Stacy and India. I love a man named Stacy. You just know he ain't shit. She's going to introduce them to Naeem. So Naeem comes through with 12 white roses. Y'all know how I go about flowers and how I go about roses. White roses are an interesting choice. Isn't that what old boy gave Liz last season? I don't know. I want men. There are other flowers that exist outside of roses. Like, that's elementary, my nigga. step it up. But anyway, they're impressed that he brought the flowers. I believe Stacy, the guy, said, let's, you know, take a toast to a critical interview process. I'm like, question him. So India asks Naeem what he likes about Zadia. He says that obviously she's gorgeous, she's easy to talk to, and that she's fit. She checks all those boxes that that Hotep wants. Stacy asks, you know, you're 40, so what's with the delayed process? Why is it taking so long? And Naeem says he's just been unlucky, and that he hasn't met the right person. Lord, I hope if I'm 40 and single, people don't ask me, what's taking so long? These niggas ain't shit. Naeem's date with Zadia lasted all of 2 minutes because they were cut crossing with Sabrina's friendship date, so I guess they gave more time to Sabrina. But this date went very well. Her friends ended up liking Naeem, and you know, they said that he was kind and intelligent, blase blase, kind of boring. I really didn't see the point. I'm not sold on Naeem and Zadia because we don't see enough of them, but they look good together on paper, I guess. Not much there, kind of boring. Next, we have Sabrina with all 17 of her friends, okay? She lets them know we're going to meet multiple men. I love Sabrina, but girl, first of all, it's too many friends. It was Dana, Malik, Angel, Sherelle. That's too many people. Can we just do one or two people and call it a day, honestly? Why? Mm-mm. I don't like that. So anyway, Walter gets there and he notes that her friends are so serious. And I agree. They're definitely giving, we're on TV, this is our big break. And not all of them, it's the other two, the man and the woman on the couch. I didn't write down their names because they're irrelevant and they aren't cast members on this show. But anyway, one of them asks, you know, why is Walter in this area of DC? He said that he came here on an electrical engineering scholarship to Morgan State University. Why are you in Sabrina? I can't stop smiling around her. Walter, you're so cute. Are you at the same stage with Sabrina as you are with the other women on the show? He says, no. One of the friends immediately is like, don't be a liar. I hope you're not lying. And Walter's just like, Walter's facial expression, even though he makes a joke, you can just tell he's like, if y'all don't stop putting on for these cameras, like, calm the fuck down. And they're like, oh, we're just kidding. And Walter's just like, that was cute. The date goes well. They end up liking Walter. Walter says that her friends are classy and, you know, sophisticated and articulate, much like Sabrina, and that's why he's attracted to her. So at this point in time, yeah, I'm team Wabrina. I'm team Walter, team Salter. And then Sabrina introduces her friends to Sean. Now, Sean must not have gotten the memo that we're meeting the friends, because he's like, oh, Sabrina invited me over. I brought a deck of cards. And I'm like, First of all, I don't know why Walter and Sabrina are still moving forward when obviously he said that her not wanting to have any more children was going to be an issue for him. I don't, like, why are we still going forward with couples who have clearly stated they have no similar interests? Let's get into it. You know, Sean walks in. Well, before he gets there, Sabrina tells her friends, like, oh, you know, I want you guys to meet Sean, even though he said he doesn't want to waste my time and he wants to be up front, but he still wants to see where things go. Even though he said in a couple months, you know, things may fall off between us. Why would you tell your friends this right before they meet him? Like, you're already muddying their opinion of them. So already they got an attitude when Sean walks in the door. Sean has an unfair advantage. And I didn't like that Sabrina did that. I get that she had to maybe tell them a little bit about him, but it's like, you know, he said this isn't going to work. And he says you already are telling only one part of the story. Like, you didn't go into detail. I didn't like that. And after this date, or after this meetup, my opinion of Sabrina changes and I am very disappointed in her. But let me get into what happens, because she ultimately tells them before he gets there, she wants to make sure that she's not jumping the gun. And again, what gun is there to jump when you both have already stated you have nothing in common? Okay? You don't want kids, he does. Why are we here? They ask Sean what his ideal woman is. And he's like, oh, career oriented, you know, somebody with a maternal instinct. And then he says, oh, I want somebody like Claire Huxtable. And he's like, can I get an amen? And everybody's just like, mm. Well, damn, he said Claire Huxtable, not Bill Cosby, not Cliff. Anyway, want Sean, you know, lists all the types of qualities he wants within a woman. Bitchy friend number one, and I usually don't call women bitches, but bitchy friend number one, the woman in the blue blazer, she's just like, are you in a position to provide for this type of woman that you want? Great question, but it's her tone and her attitude. And he's just like, you know, I can take care of a bill or two or all bills if necessary. Y'all gonna learn to stop coming on these shows and saying that y'all gonna take care of maybe half the bill. Women don't want to hear that. Their friends don't want to hear that, especially on this platform. Just lie at this point, my niggas. Like, just say, yeah, I'm gonna take care of everything, okay? Because clearly that's what they want to hear. I admire the honesty, but we saw what happened with KG Chris, and now they're trying to paint Sean into this same kind of corner that they did to KG Chris, all right? So the group as a whole does not like that. They're asking him if he's made any other connections, and he's like, two, but they're probably not as strong as my connection with Sabrina. Don't really understand that. So the male friend, he's the only male friend out of the four, I think. Yeah, it's four or three women friends that are there. He was like, you know, you made this comment to Sabrina about, you know, you wanted to be upfront, but that it may not work out in the next couple of months. How can you hurt somebody if you're not being upfront in the moment? This is a good question, but I feel like Sabrina, again, spoon-fed them information that was not conducive to what Sean was actually referencing. Now, bitchy friend number one jumps in. She's like, yeah, if you're not being upfront, it sounds like you're just running game on her. So you don't want Sabrina to find love. You want her to be with a deadbeat. Like, let me hold my comments on the friends until afterwards. And Sean does a great job of clarifying. He was like, no, when I made that comment, I was referencing the fact that I want to have children and that Sabrina does not want to. I am still trying to decide if I want to be a father or not. So that is where that comment came from. Sean shut them up and they were kind of gagged, gooped. They didn't know what to say because they were all amped up about shitting on him and coming down on him. So once he clarified it, you know, the three other friends on the other couch, they were like, oh, well, you know, that actually makes sense, you know. And then male friend, who I will call bitchy friend number two. Yeah, nigga, you're a bitch. He's just like, and he says this in front of Sean, like, no, I don't think it's a good match. Like, you're just going to stifle her in the long run. You're going to stifle her progress. How insulting is that? That you think that my presence is going to bring someone down, and you must have balls the size of Superman's to say that to my face. Like, friend, bitchy friend number one and bitchy friend number two, y'all are too old to be turning up for the cameras like this. Like, I hope you both are married, are very successful in the relationship area of your life, the way y'all are coming down on Sean. So Sabrina is like, oh, you know, I feel so bad and I think Sean's gonna cry. And she tries, or she attempts to stick up for him. And she's just like, yeah, you know, we both kind of came to an understanding that we both still want to see where this goes. And I'm just like, Sabrina, I'm so disappointed in you. I'm disappointed in you, Sabrina, because you spoon-fed your friends false information. You allowed your friends to come after someone like that unprovoked. And you didn't have the balls to really stand up for him. So, and you as a woman who, you know, you came off as very self-aware as to what you want and what you don't want, why are you still pursuing Sean? Is it just so you can have a second option, like a backup? Why are you wasting this man's time? I'm disappointed. Don't bring any more friends on this goddamn show, okay? And it speaks volumes that Sabrina needed four or five friends. Like, why do all of these people's opinions matter to you so much? You are a grown woman in your late 30s, damn near 40. I would hope that you could make sound decisions because you are a mother on what you want your potential partner to be and not just go off of what your hating ass friends have to say. Like I said, y'all, my opinion of Sabrina changed greatly after this date. I feel like she just let her friends loose on Sean, and Sean is still fairly new to this process. This would be like, what, maybe his third week here? I just feel like her friends were coming in already trying to be negative about him, and it felt icky. It felt awkward to watch. And I hope her friends grow the fuck up. Next, we see Camille and her four friends. You know, Camille is just going to be the villain this season, and that's all there is to it. Zadia tried to correct me on Twitter, and I was like, that couldn't be further from the truth. I'm like, Zadia, baby, I understand how television works, and that is how production is editing her, okay? It's cool that you think she's a nice person. That's great, but I'm going based on what I see on the television. Zadia, I like you, so fall back. Thank you. Camille and her friends, three women, one male. His name is Carlos. Carlos is ready to be on TV, y'all. He's gonna speak the most. You know, his mic is turned on the loudest, child. Anyway, she says she's nervous because, you know, her friends be a little bit too much in her business and they're a little too brutally honest. Camille, I mean, if they're friends with you, you know, birds of a feather, sis. She's trying to give them, like, you know, a description of Cornelius, and they're like, oh, you know, have you tested the equipment? And she's like, no, you know, he actually believes in no sex before marriage. And they all bust out laughing and they're like, no, it's probably not for you. Camille says, you know, she's kind of been thinking that too, because what if they make it to the wedding day and his dick is small? Moving on. Cornelius walks up and Carlos is like, oh, hello. Calm down, Carlos. As soon as Cornelius sits down, are you in love with her? Cornelius is like, you know, I'm in love with her personality. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? This is like one of the dumbest questions, because you could ask me where I see myself tomorrow. Baby, I don't know. It's whatever the Lord has planned for me. I mean, I think we should let go of the idea of the 5-year plan, the 4-year. Baby, we're just trying to take it day by day, especially after 2020. If I can make the day without contracting coronavirus, I think we're in good shape. So please stop asking that dated ass question. He said, hopefully married. Okay. One friend asked a weird question. Do you feel like you've played the field enough? What? What? Cornelius is like, you know, I've never been the type to date multiple women. So, you know, I think I'm straight on that. Someone asked if he's ever cheated. He says no. Carlos goes, oh, okay. Like, he doesn't believe Cornelius. Again, this is an older group of people. I would hope the maturity level would be a little bit higher, but, you know, I don't have a lot of faith in these friends, y'all. You know, they say your friends are a reflection of you. Listen, my friends, we got it together. That's all I'm gonna say about that. There's a lot of variety and they are definitely a reflection of me, but I would hope that when I'm introducing a potential suitor, my friends would know when to joke and when not to joke. And just, these friends, y'all are a little camera thirsty. I said it. So, you know, Cornelius switches the tables. All right, he turns the tables. He's like, why do you guys feel like Camille hasn't been ready for marriage? You know, she's been engaged 11 times. Carlos, per usual, speaks up and he's just like, oh, you know, Camille just has commitment issues. Like, she has no problem getting engaged. It's just, you know, getting her to the altar is where we're going to get to the problem. And the other friend is like, yeah, you know, kind of like a runaway bride. And if I was Cornelius, I would have got up and walked out then. I mean, Cornelius, the red flags are right there. Like, why are you trying to force this connection with crazy ass Camille? Anyway, Cornelius leaves. You know, it was nice meeting them, blah, 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 blue, blue. They say that, you know, they like him. One of her friends feels like Cornelius is too nice, and they're a little worried because Camille tends to get bored too fast. So Camille starts to stick up for herself, and she's just like, you know, I'm tired of jumping from man to man. I'm tired of jumping to relationship. She wants this thing with Cornelius to be it. And she actually says out loud, you know, if it's not him, then it's no one. Camille is not him. Next, we have Sydney and her friends, Ashley and Dallas, who she calls her gay husband. Ladies, can we stop using that term? Like, okay. I'm gonna leave it alone. She wants them to meet Frank. She thinks that Frank has always had a crush on her, and she's excited to get their opinion because they should know Frank through the nightlife. So Frank gets there. Y'all know how I feel about Frank. It's something about him I can't put my finger on. It was him shaking that damn cocktail shaker. But, you know, Frank, when was your last relationship? He says 3 years ago. What was the demise of the relationship? He says that they were moving in different portions of their life. He says, Dallas asks Frank what his toxic trait is. Frank says that his toxic trait is that he cares too much. And, you know, he's always going to be smothering someone. And, you know, he's going to give them love and attention. I'm like, Frank, cut the bullshit. Like, good answer, you know, but let's be honest. And I thought this question was very, very funny because my cousins and I, we were talking about our toxic traits over Thanksgiving dinner. And I asked my younger cousins what my toxic trait was. And one of them told me that I look for Russell Wilson's inside of men who are really future. And I do not do that, okay? I don't be looking for Russell Wilson because I think Russell Wilson is corny. If I just happen to end up with a nigga who's future, that's not my fault, you know. I belong to the streets. But anyway, back to this TV show and not my actual life. They asked Frank what he likes about Sydney, and he just says that he likes her glow, you know. He likes her big-ass forehead, and he likes her personality. And she's definitely someone that he wouldn't mind coming home to. Frank is giving all the right answers, okay? So he gets up to leave. Him and Sydney are just kissing on each other. I was like, now would y'all do all this kissing and hugging if y'all were in a normal group setting with the rest of the cast? Or are we just trying to put on for the friends? I think it's the latter. So Sydney asks her friends what they think about Frank. And they're like, you obviously have great chemistry with him. Dallas, the gay husband, is like, you know, was it just me or was he giving like pageant answers? And I was like, Dallas, see, me and you, we like this. Sydney says that she likes the pageant answers and she don't care because she's going to stick beside him and she's deciding that that's her man. I think Frank and Sydney are cute, but I think it's more of an appearance thing. I don't really think when we talk about death and, you know, real life shit, that there's much of an attraction or there's much of a chemistry there. I just think they're both two people who are attracted to each other and that's it. Again, I don't see any certified couples on this show. Next, we have Mumin and her friend Robin. Let me just say off the bat, Mumin's friend is someone that I would definitely bring on this show to help me evaluate through the dating pool of guys. She reminds me a lot of my friend Heather, and just Robin really embodied the mature woman that I've been looking for in these friends on this episode. Just mature, held back, confident, knew when to speak, knew the type of questions to ask. I wish we would have gotten to see more of her asking questions, but this is the standard, okay, of friends that need to be brought onto the show. Okay, Robin had her nice heels on, nice dress, very professional looking, took this seriously, and Robin has been married for 24 years, okay? We have someone with experience, ladies and gentlemen, so snaps for Miss Robin. Okay, let's get into it. Mumin, you know, she talks about the fact that Robin has been married for 24 years, so she's gonna know the ins and out and, you know, who's for Mumin and who's not. So Mumin first introduces Robin to Dante, and I guess, you know, she said they've been cooling it or hanging out, y'all, I guess since the putt-putt date. And I'm just like, see, these are things we don't see, but all right. So Dante comes through. All right, Dante, of course, is open about the fact that he has three kids with three different women. Okay, Mumin is just kind of concerned, you know, how are you going to start this chapter with me when your attention is already divided in three, really six different places if we doing the math. I'm going to call it the 3x3. She says that her concern isn't that he has the three kids because she, I think she said she deals with or she has a children's ministry. It's the, you know, how am I? And I think that's really been my problem with Dante, not just the 3x3, but it's like, if you're dating anyone with kids, you know, three or one, how are you going to divide your attention? Because I'm always going to want you to give attention to your child and I guess everything else that comes along with that. But what about me? I'm just saying, like, how do blended families, how does that start off? But Mumin does a great job of explaining that, you know, and why it's not necessarily a red flag. So I can appreciate that from her. She ultimately asked Dante, you know, how are you going to divide your attention? Now, Dante does not answer the question. He's like, well, you know, we could see how that would start off. We could see how that goes. That's why I'm here. In Dante's mind, him just being here and showing up to the date is the first step. No, sir. Like, I asked you a question. I'm gonna need you to answer it. Like, has it worked in the past? Have you dated other women while, you know, maintaining an active communication line with the three women, the 3x3, the three women, three kids? Like, I would have loved if he would have gave an actual answer so we can gain some insight into how his dating life works. It's like he's so kind of guarded, and I just need clarity on how things have gone. And it doesn't mean that I would need to know how positive things have gone. I want to hear the negatives too. Like, give us something, Dante. Like, all you've given us is I got three kids with three different women. You haven't told us what type of woman you like. You haven't told us your family values. You just, it's a whole lot of nothing there. Walter joins the date, and I guess Walter didn't know, again, just like Sean, that this was a friend meeting. He also didn't know that Dante would get there. So Mumin says she's a little disappointed because when Walter came up, he was cold and closed off and clearly uncomfortable. I agree. Like, Walter, I don't know. I kind of feel like Walter has been holding back these past couple of weeks, but I also feel like it's because he isn't making as strong as a connection that he would like. And I also feel like Walter is me. Like, it's just a lot of people just roaming around, lying about connections and trying to force things. And Walter seems like the type that he isn't going to force anything in his life. So I was noticing his, you know, demeanor. I wish he would have done a better job at presenting himself, because like I said, Robin is great at interviewing people and she was great at asking questions. So, you know, Walter joins for a little bit, but then Dante leaves. So when Dante leaves, Robin asks, you know, well, before Dante leaves, let's just note that when Walter got there and he was sitting on the other side of the table and being uncomfortable, Mimi noticed, but Dante grabbed her hand under the table and she says that that made her anxiety kind of calm down and she liked that he did that. So, Walter, I'm sorry, but Dante got the one up on you because he was actually nice. Anyway, Robin, after Dante leaves, she asks Walter, you know, are you ready for the next step with Mumin? And Walter's like, well, you know what? I'm ready to find out what the next step would be. Again, these men are always great at not answering the goddamn question. But he's like, you know, how can you really ask me that when homeboy just left? Like, let's keep it real. And I'm like, ugh, Walter, you at least got to play the game. Like, it's a reality show. Yeah, he just left, but now would be the time. You should take advantage of the fact that it's just the three of you. Now you can really showcase your talents. Like, Walter wasn't feeling it. And I can't put my finger exactly on why. Robin, after Walter leaves, says that she likes both Walter and Dante for Mumin. Mumin says she feels the same way. And Robin's like, girl, you know, they was both are good looking. You know, they both bald headed and got beards. And I'm like, yeah, that's really what we're giving this season. But I don't know. I don't really see a connection with Mumin and Dante. Like, again, he hasn't given us anything. And as far as Walter and Mumin, he kind of dropped the ball on this date. And I don't know. He was acting weird. And that would definitely bother me. Next, we have Phil, Mr. Popular, going on three different dates with Aisha, Tasia, and Shiloh. I would have appreciated it for note-taking sake if they would have cut this a little differently. Like, show us one solid damn date. Stop cutting in between. Y'all know how hard that is to take motherfucking notes? I'm yelling at own, not y'all. But Phil has a date with Aisha first and her three friends. She says that her friends don't hold back and that she has one friend who's just going to say what's ever on her mind. She's going to be the extra one. Basically, they ask, you know, is Aisha his number one? He says that she's his strongest connection. They've never seen Aisha smile this much and they've never seen Aisha engage in so much PDA. They ask him if he's fine with being, you know, a stepdad. He says it's okay. He doesn't mind. And, you know, all three of these dates, they don't go into really good detail. So it was hard for me to take notes, y'all. So that's what happens on the date with Aisha. Next, on Phil's date with Tasia, she says that she wants to introduce him to her entrepreneur friends. Tasia, I'm gonna need you to... Girl, it's great that you're an entrepreneur, girl. Yes, black girl magic, girl. What else is there? Besides you being an entrepreneur, what else do you bring to the table, sis? I'm trying to help you out. Like, you are so damn boring, but what else is there? I'm starting to think that Libba should have stayed that first week and you maybe should have gone, but she introduces him to her two friends. And in case y'all missed it, the first 900 times, they're all entrepreneurs. Basically, they're just asking Phil a couple questions. You know, they're noticing that there's a spark between them, but that spark is nice, but that they really need substance. And Tasia said that her and Phil have been dating. And I'm like, where? I seen y'all go out on... Did y'all go on a date the last episode? Because I don't really recall, but you know, whatever. One of them asks Phil, who I'm trying so hard not to call Frank. Frank and Phil are two different people, okay? Phil ain't got no beard. One of them asks Phil, what's his purpose in life? And he says, you know, to give back to kids. You should have prepared better, Phil. They ask if he wants kids. He says yes. They ask if Tasia is his strongest connection. He says she's pretty high up there. She's one of the strongest, but you know, he didn't necessarily say she is the strongest. Moving on to Shiloh, she introduces him to her two friends. Immediately, they were drilling him, like, where are you from? He's from New York. Are you close to your family? Yeah, I'm real close. Do you want to get married? Yeah, I want to get married. Who is his... Well, he says himself that Shiloh is his strongest connection. And now, the editing goes back to show that he said the same thing about Aisha and that he sort of said the same thing about Tasia. So, Phil, the editing might be trying to paint you as a player, okay? And they definitely did, because in his direct-to-camera... The production is asking him, like, what's it like to be popular? Are you just used to dating women, multiple women all the time? And he's just like, why would you ask me that on camera? Phil, I don't believe you. I don't believe that you have that much swag. I'm sorry. You need more people. Give it up, Delicious. So he says that Shiloh is his strongest connection. They ask him what his intentions with Shiloh are. And he's like, I can't really say that. You know, I can't say that I want to marry her tomorrow. We just met. Plus one for the honesty. They ask him if Shiloh has any red flags, and he's like, no, she's pretty much perfect. And he's eating it up, Shiloh's eating it up, and I think I'm kind of buying it. Out of the three of them, I don't buy his connection with Tasia at all. I could see him and Aisha growing upon something, but I really get a friendship vibe. I feel the strongest relationship vibe that Phil has is with Shiloh. She really likes him. They look good together. It seems like they talk a lot off of the show, you know, cell phones and whatnot. I think I could actually buy them being a couple by the end of the show. Now, will they survive? Probably not, because Phil seems like he says he wants all those things, but that he wants to be in the streets. And Phil seems that he likes attention. So I don't really know, y'all. Like, But, you know, out of the three dates, I see him the most with Shiloh. But then again, with this group of people, take that with a grain of salt. So basically, all the friendship dates are done. This show did a terrible job on that this year. Like, let's take it to the tabernacle, because I'm ready to talk. We see the ladies coming into the tabernacle. All right, Sia's messy ass. She's just like, the aura is off. There's tea that needs to be spilled. That's the feeling she's getting, because she feels like every woman wants to say something or they want to report back. And I'm like, duh, Walter Cronkite. Like, that's the point of the tabernacle. We're supposed to report back. Tasia be looking for a mess where there really is no mess. And that speaks to her insecurities, if I had to clock her tea. Tommy comes in and he's going around the table asking everyone about their dates. Sydney, how'd your date go? Who'd you go with? What your friends think? All right, that's going to be the formula going around the table. Sydney says that she went out with Frank. Her only setback is that she questions whether he was being genuine, but that she really, really likes him. All right. Sabrina says that her first date with Walter went very well. He said that Sabrina is his number one connection and that her friends really liked him. As far as Sean, you know, she really felt sorry for him because her friends took shots at him. She said that even Sean said it was a firing squad and that there was blood, and that the comment that got him in trouble with her friends was the bill or two. obviously the ladies around the table agreed that Bill or Two shit is just not gonna fly. All right. Aisha says she went out with Phil. She says that she told her friends to be tough with Phil, but he ended up charming them and they ended up really liking him. Tasia puts on this like baby voice. She's like, well, you know, I went out with Phil. I'm dating Roger Bob. That's the vibe it was giving. She says, you know, I went out with Phil. You know, I asked him if we could have 2 kids. He says, no, I asked him for 3 kids. He says he'd only give me 2. The camera pans to Aisha, and I thought that was weird and dirty because we know how Aisha is about, you know, childbearing. So I didn't really appreciate that. I see the angle they were going for, but I wish they were a little bit more subtle about that. But anyway, she asked Phil if they could have 3 kids. He said 2, and they really liked him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so next up is Shiloh. She also dated Phil. The whole table seems shocked, and I guess Tommy has been told by production to drive home this fact that Phil is very popular and he went on 3 different dates, child. But Shiloh says that her friends think that they are a good match. Tommy is noticing Tasia's facial expressions and her demeanor changing because I guess she didn't know that Phil was popular, child. He says, did y'all know that Phil was going on dates? And each of them are like, no, but Aisha is like, you know what? She told him to go stretch. You know, it's like a rubber band. If you stretch yourself thin enough, you're going to pop. And it is what it is. Like, she wants him to go explore those other connections because she wants him to be sure about being with her. Period. Aisha is a secure woman and, you know, snaps to that. Tasia, did you know? You know, Tommy's asking her and she's like, no, I didn't know. But, you know, cheers to Phil. And all the ladies laugh and Tommy's like, okay, like, let's just cut the bullshit. Like, Tommy legit said to her, don't be fake. And I was like, thank you, Tommy. Like, stop with the baby doll voice. Stop being fake. Like, actually show us a little bit of your personality and tell us how you feel. And she is like, you know, honestly, I don't really care for him stretching. I'm gonna need him to shrink. Like, he's in my top and I need him to be the same, you know, feel the same way about me that I am feeling about him. So Tasia got a little attitude, but you know, she isn't taking it personally. They definitely built up that her and Zadia were gonna have a huge argument over this in the previews. Like, what are y'all doing? I'm gonna watch the end of this segment to see if her and Zadia get into it, but if y'all use that for ratings to make us watch the show, that lets me know how desperate y'all are. But basically, Phil is in her top. She don't want him to be in anybody else's top, and she wants to be in his top. Tommy wants the ladies to tell him who they're not feeling. Sabrina says that she's not feeling Sean. Tasia says that she hasn't heard back from Sean since their date. Tasia, he's just not that into you, sis. Zadia says that she's not feeling Frank because she doesn't want a party guy. Okay, Zadia, it's something different about her. I don't know. Maybe she's just tired of being around this woman, but Zadia definitely has an attitude problem this episode and in this deliberation. Don't worry, y'all gonna learn more about it later. Sydney isn't feeling Cornelius. Shiloh isn't feeling Cornelius. Sabrina isn't feeling Cornelius. And Aisha isn't feeling Cornelius. Of course, Camille's over there making faces. And Tommy's just like, stop making faces, sis. Like, are y'all married? And Camille's like, no. All right. So they're allowed to not feel Cornelius. They all just come to the consensus that Cornelius gives off friendship vibes and that there are no romantic vibes and that he's basically married and that is what it is. He's locked down to Camille. Tasia then in her confessional takes this time to say that the word on the street is that Cornelius isn't that into Camille as she is into him. See, Tasia, this is what I'm talking about. You worried about shit that does not concern you at all. Mind your damn business. Oh, Lord. So, Tommy leaves and he says that the ladies have a decision to make. And this was very weird because usually this is where the scene ends, but the scene continues. So I'm just going to play the clip, and I'm going to let y'all decide how this entire conversation went. But I just want to go into it letting you guys, I'll give the setup. Basically, Tasia says that she has a serious question and she wants to know if Cornelius has made a decision. Zadia says that he hasn't said it, but that it's well known that it's probably going to be Camille. And Zadia and Aisha instantly get into it because Aisha is referencing the fact that Zadia also needs to shrink and that she has a list. And Zadia's like, I don't have a list. I have two people. And Aisha's like, okay, girl, like, calm down. Like, Zadia is already on 10. And Zadia, why are you being... Zadia, I actually like you, so I don't care for this attitude. I also don't understand why you're so defensive, because it's kind of like Aisha says, if you go to the store for two things, that's a list. Like, I don't know. I don't know, y'all. I'm going to play the clip. It's probably going to be about 3 or 4 minutes because a lot happens in the clip. Yeah. Let's just dive into the clip.
Serious question. Did Cornelius make a decision?
He hasn't said it, but it's really just time to draw your line in the sand at this point. It's getting ridiculous.
Look, you still got your list.
No, I don't have a list. I have two. And I can have two. And then I'm going to shrink when I need to shrink.
That's the same thing.
Okay, no, but I was talking to them, though.
And I'm going to shrink when I'm ready to.
No, but y'all telling me I have a list and I don't. So don't tell me what I got and what I don't
have. No, we're just saying, based off of your last statement of it's time for everybody to shrink, we're saying then the same applies for the women.
She was like, I don't got a list. Two is a list. If I go to the store and I'm getting one item, I got one item, right? I don't need a list. If I'm going to the store and I got two items, I made a list. I need this and that. That is a list. You had a list, sis. So it's time for us to shrink. All the ladies need to tighten their belt as well as the men.
Okay, so let's tighten our belt, ladies.
Yes, I'm tight.
Oh, girl, we know.
Exactly. We already know. You're tight.
Aisha, who we affectionately call New York, at the beginning of her speech was, you know, I let the guys stretch. Guys need to stretch and they need to get out if they want.
And then all of a sudden we started talking about how they need to start narrowing. And then all of a sudden it became,
yes, they need to narrow. Everybody got these ears, they need to narrow.
Also, I just got here, so I kind of feel like the rubber band is kind of being stretched just a little bit because they are getting to know me. I'm new, so they're just trying to get to know me.
Okay.
So take that into account.
I got what you're saying.
What you mean?
Oh, what was the giggle for, girl?
Hey, my name is Zadia. So let's use that first.
All right, ladies.
Come on. Okay. Take it cute.
Okay. I didn't mean it in any disrespectful way. Okay, so I'm going to let you know to address me as Zadia, please.
Zadia.
But I'll be confused. Y'all need to say y'all advice, and then y'all think nobody else is supposed to jump in and say how they feel. It's not got to be that.
But what are you talking about?
We just want to be clear that we don't always have to go to
100. No. Aisha, I felt like you were personally talking to me about shrinking. I have completely shrunk.
Okay.
I have my top two, and I can make my decision when I need to. But right now, I don't
know. This is what we're talking about. Like this. You keep chiming in talking about two.
Because it's still a process where I can decide.
But nobody's asking you to do that. We're just saying, like, you really have been on 100. I don't know why.
Don't come across the table talking crazy to me. Oh, no, boo-boo. We're not going to do that. And if you on 100, I'm on 102. So, baby, don't play with me.
All right. So, what did y'all think about that? Zadia, you are already on the defense. I don't like the way that the ladies have treated Sydney since she's been here. All of them, including Sabrina with the faces. Tasia, you need to mind your own business. Aisha, I love you, but you know you were saying that you were fine with Phil stretching and that we need to narrow down. And now you want people to shrink and stretch and stretch. Say what you say without the allegories. I just think, in my opinion, that fight is a frustration of no one having solid ass connections. It could have been anybody on Zadia's list. The ladies would have had a problem. I don't really like how they're trying to tell her to, you know, tighten up, yet they want the men to do the same thing. But that whole argument was stupid. There was no basis to it. Zadia, get your attitude together. And Zadia, please, you're coming off a little bit like condescending. Like, she knows regardless she's going to have a man at the end of this. And I like Zadia a lot. So I don't like the way that she's coming off in this episode. Tasia needs to go home. Camille, we know you're obsessed with Cornelius. Mumin, I still like you, girl. I want you to find a good connection. Like I said, y'all, and like I've been saying for the past 7 episodes, this group is just not there's no chemistry within this group between the men and the women, period. So now it's leading to infighting between the women. yeah, that's all I have for that whole weird argument. I don't understand. We don't see production kind of setting the men up for stuff like this. So, you know, it's all brotherhood on the men's side, but with the women, production wants them to be catty and they want those insecurities to come out. And I don't really appreciate that. So, yeah, let's get to the eliminations. Zadia decides to meet up with Cornelius because she thought that they had a connection, but, you know, he's been ball and chained to Camille. So he's excited to have a date with her because he thinks that she's sexy. Mm-hmm. And that he's been attracted to her. Cornelius, you say all these things, but you are happily where you want to be with Camille. Basically, he feels like he's doing a good job in the process. He feels like he's getting to know everybody. Zadia's like, everybody. And he's like, yeah, you know, I'm still, you know, trying to feel out different connections. I mean, everybody knows that's a lie. he says that, you know, he knows that Camille has kind of tied him down, but that he will want to try to get out to know more people on his own. Cornelius, you've been saying this for the past 6 episodes. I don't believe you. You need more people. Basically, Zadia pulls that corny shit. You know, the women and I have decided that you are not ready to go home. Whatever production or producer decided to tell them to use that line, fuck you. Next, we see Tasia and Sean. You know, Sean is noting how beautiful Tasia is, and she did look very beautiful at this little date. He says that he's attracted to her and her country twang, and I'm just like, well, Sean, if you really like her, why didn't you follow up? Why'd you drop the ball? She's asking Sean how his process has been so far. He says that, you know, he did enjoy his initial date with Sabrina, but he didn't enjoy the interrogations from her friends. I agree. He says that he felt beat up. I agree. And Tasia is just like, yeah, you know, on a whole and as a whole, the women feel like you've just given up on this process, like you're a poor communicator, you've tapped out, you're not really interested. And Sean is like, yeah, that really is the case, because he feels like he came into the game too late and that it was too late to make viable connections, so on and so forth. So basically, Tasia lets Sean know that the ladies feel that he is not ready to love. He says to that, he says, hallelujah. Sean act like they held his ass prisoner. I bet corny ass Corey would happily take his place. But, you know, he just feels like he was awkward. He was slow to get into the game and that his process overall was just a lot slower. He says that he regrets, you know, the way he handled things because he actually really would like to get to know Tasia more. So I could see him hitting her up after the show. But Sean gets eliminated, y'all. Cornelius is still here for the drama. Y'all know they weren't letting him go with the potential theatrics and shenanigans from Camille. Overall, you guys, I hated this episode. It was a chore to watch. Nobody in this group has real chemistry. No one's very viable or interesting. Like, I have a few of my faves who haven't overall annoyed me, like Walter, Mumin. I still like Aisha, but like, this group is just not it, and this is a piss poor representation of Washington, D.C. I say if we do a next season in Washington, D.C., we gotta go a little younger. We gotta go a little younger. We need to take our time casting, and we need a better quality of men, because if this is what D.C. has to offer, honey, Charleston not looking that bad. I don't even have a question this week. That's how, like, unenthused I am about this week's episode. I'm gonna give y'all a break because of the holiday season. No question for my Spotify listeners, my Spotify users. I guess I'll just see y'all next week. I'm gonna need a week, you know, to get my attitude about the show right, to get an adjustment, because a lot of the other reviewers I watch, they just haven't been feeling this season, and I just feel like I've been hanging on for y'all because we do this every week. But I'm gonna need them to step it up. But at least next week's episode looks interesting. We're going to have the men introduce the women to an ex. Now, that sounds like my type of mess. I'm ready to see the men squirm and get caught in some lies. And I'm really, really interested to see how Dante's exes are going to be. Watch out. I bet he is not going to bring one of the mother of his children. It's going to be a random ex, like somebody he had a relationship with for like maybe a week or two. Watch. Thank you guys for listening. I can be found at KDASHDIOR on Instagram and Twitter. Make sure you guys are caught up on Ashley's latest Insecure recap for episode 4 and 5. Y'all, I've been trying to hold on to Insecure too, y'all, but y'all, episode 4 with Nathan and his friends at the beach, that was the worst episode of Insecure I've ever watched. This season, I'm just not feeling it. But that's a whole different discussion for a whole nother time. I'll see y'all next week for Ready to Love. Bye.